Hello, I'm Llewellyn King, the host of White House Chronicle. This program today is brought to you by Public Utilities Fortnightly, which is presenting a special conference to study and examine the future of the electric utility industry. It will be held in Scottsdale, Arizona, on November 17th and 18th of this year. For more information, go to Public Utilities Fortnightly on the web. All the details are there. And now for a few thoughts of my own. I have been traveling by air, not a very pleasant experience these days, because there are scientists who work for the airlines who have established how many compressions the human body in a seat can take and how many strange positions you can get yourself into while trying to use the toilet. You know the seats have gotten smaller on the airlines, but did you know the toilets are coming in on you too? My advice, if you fly these days, go to the lavatory preemptively on the ground, or the moment that sign goes off, the seatbelt sign, dash for it, because later in the flight you won't want to be in there. And the seats, oh, they've taken out the entertainment. No more screens with movies. You have to have your own computer, and they will hook you up to whatever you are allowed to see on the airplane. Isn't flying wonderful? I asked a steward for coffee. You would have thought I'd ask him if I could take his wife out. He said to me rather severely, "We're serving water now. There will be coffee service," an oxymoron, in 15 minutes. Enjoy your flight. The friendly skies really are quite hostile. We have a very special program today. We're going to examine the lone wolf phenomenon in terrorism, the individual acting alone. We've seen many examples of this, and we have some very good people to talk about us about it. In particular, Ted Gordon, formal name, Theodore Gordon, who has written this book on the lone wolf phenomenon. Ted is a futurist and one of the founders of the Millennium Project. Tell us a little bit about that, would you?
Sure. The Millennium Project is a global project with nodes, organizations that are associated with it around the world. Some 60 such nodes. It was founded.
Nodes?
Nodes. It's a lousy name.
Yeah, it really is. It
sounds too medical, but in fact, what it means is these are organizations that, in their areas, geographic areas, are connected to experts who we want to access through them on topics that we study. So the Millennium Project, a nonprofit in the U.S., originally under the UN, I might say, but now separate. Conducts studies on its own or for clients on important issues to the world. Not necessarily current issues, but future issues, or current issues that have a future dimension, which is important to decision making.
We'll come back to it. And we're joined by one of our favorite people on this program, the great author Edward Acorn, who is also the editorial page editor of the Providence Rhode Island Journal, but who is the author of this book, which is doing better and better and better, he tells me. And I tell you, it deserves to do better. It's called The Summer of Beer and Whiskey, and it is about the man who really gave some energy to developing baseball as the national pastime. His name was Chris Van der A, and he was the creator of the Brewers, right?
He was the creator of the St. Louis Cardinals.
The St. Louis Cardinals.
Yep.
He was a Brewer.
And there's a new effort underway to get him into the Hall of Fame. We'll see if we can do it.
Well, why is he not there?
Well, you'll read it if you read in the book.
This was kind of
a wild and crazy league, and the other league of baseball, National League, didn't like these outlandish
people. Oh, it was like
people.
Jack Russell.
Sure.
Go in the
sure.
dog show. All right, so he was a Jack Russell.
It's kind of crazy.
And of course, we are joined by Linda Gasparano, the co-host of this program. Ted, you are involved in studying and have produced a book with some other collaborators on the lone wolf phenomenon.
Yes. I'll tell you how
it started. Is it getting worse?
Yes, it's getting worse. And our interest in this topic came about as a result of doing a study for the Department of Energy of the United States some 5 years ago, in which we wrote scenarios about what the future might look like for science and technology. And one of those scenarios, we coined the term CMAD, single individual massively destructive, which was at the end of the spectrum of individual terrorism. So here's the terrorist in a future setting that has access to very destructive technologies. And the question we asked through that scenario was, is this a plausible future, and what could one do about this? Here we are, here we see the destructive power of a single individual with an AK-47 or whatever instrument they choose to create their terror, and it was much on our minds. And in parallel is coming, we see coming, and the group we worked with among these nodes saw coming the possibility of increasing firepower, but not necessarily through guns and ammunition or even bombs, but through biotechnology perhaps or whatever. And in one of these scenarios, there was a person who saw themselves as the agent of God, in quotes, a distorted view of reality, who got access to a bioweapon. Single individual, massively destructive. Where did he get access to it? He built it in his basement. He created it in his basement. Well, that was 5 years ago. And my colleagues, Yair Sharan, who runs the Israeli node of the Millennium Project, and Elizabeth Florescu, who is the director of research for the Millennium Project, and I got together and said, you know, this scenario is really a frightening possibility. And it's plausible, it's certainly plausible, because on the one hand, we have the crazies who want to do damage. On the other hand, we have evolving technology, which makes really advanced technology destructive and available. So the collision of those two said to us, it's worth bringing this to the attention of decision makers so that it becomes one of the things on the agenda.
In a way, we have the old-fashioned anarchist with new equipment.
Exactly. Exactly. Anarchy is one of those incentives for this kind of destructive power. So around that idea, we wrote this book.
Ted, what do you see as some of the most dangerous possibilities emerging for a lone wolf terrorist? What can they use to really hurt people?
Well, that of course was one of the objectives of our study, just where is the threat? And the bio threat is real. It's real because there's a hobby growing now called synthetic biology in which people not well-trained have access to biological components and can use those biological components to build new life forms, essentially, in their basement or kitchen. Make the plants glow using a DNA segment for bioluminescence from an animal and implant it in the plant, and the plant glows at night. You know, it's a hobby, good fashion. But, you know, you'd go beyond that very quickly. But let me take you in a different dimension to answer that question, too. I see as one of the big threats cyber terror. It does exceedingly evil damage, hard to detect, can bring systems down with very little investment on the part of the terrorist to interdict in systems that we take for granted. Was the crash, the spike crash of Wall Street several years ago, or even just recently, a deliberate interference in the algorithms that computed whether or not to buy or sell? How do you answer that question? As far as I know, it's not even been answered for the flash crash yet. So it's those systems that we've come to rely on are very sensitive. They're available to us. The ability to interdict is there. And to find the person who's doing the damage is very difficult and cheap.
It seems to me that there is, for the modern lone wolf terrorist, the internet can be a big plus.
Absolutely.
But it also can be a big minus. because I think that if somebody like Ted Kaczynski, who was the Unabomber, had more access to the internet, he probably would have been caught. Because it seems that lone wolf terrorists usually declare themselves before they commit something.
Isn't that amazing? They get on internet and say, even say, here's what I'm going to do.
Right. Yeah. So and there you have the possibility of actually catching some of them. Now, they act for different reasons. They act for because they're secularists or they're religious or they've got a one issue thing that is bothering them, say, for instance, abortion. They act because they're idiosyncratic. Somebody like Ted Kaczynski was an idiosyncratic person. You know, he believed in the technological industrial complex that was going to tear the world down and wrote his manifesto against it. So again, the one thing that they do seem to do is before they act, they declare themselves in some way. So I would think that for law enforcement, you know, this would be although you're looking for a needle in a haystack, there is that one point at which you might be able to find them on the internet.
I agree, Linda, completely. One of our interests currently, as you might guess from following from the book, is how about the deterrence? How do we find these guys before they act?
Right.
And there are a whole set of technologies coming along that involve not only the internet, but other technologies as well, which gives us hints about who the bad guys are before they have a chance to act. Sort of like Minority Report. Did you read that book or see the movie? There's a new version of it coming out, which I'm interested to see. But none of that is real. That's all fake stuff. But nevertheless, the idea behind it, that is finding the lone wolves before they act, is important and possible. So that in our minds, there's a collision out there. Here's the escalation of lone wolf power, frequency, in terms of frequency, in terms of depth, in terms of killing power. And here are the deterrent technologies coming along as well, having the same kind of acceleration so that
Give us an example of a deterrent technology.
Yes, psychological testings, screening, fMRI pictures of the brain, if we can go that far, even genetic analysis.
But this suggests
this all sounds
an
very
enormous
intrusive.
Intrusion into personal liberty, which raises a question. And one of the immediate things a lone wolf can do is go and get a very high-powered weapon, like an assault rifle, and do a lot of damage without any preparation particularly, besides
yes.
going to a gun store. And if they've got a clean record, they'll purchase a gun. There's not much you can do about that, is there? Unless the screening at the gun store is very good, and it really isn't.
We could institute certain laws that are now bypassed, like make sure this guy doesn't have a mental record, a record of mental problems before he sold a gun. That is the law in some places and is circumvented regularly. But our point here, Llewellyn, recognizing what you say is true, the threat can be so deep that we're willing, that we call for compromises to privacy in order to find these people. The projections that were made by our expert group here took us up to 10,000 injuries and deaths by the middle of the century as a possibility.
A year or just in that time?
In a single attack.
In a single attack.
So this is 9/11 plus.
9/11 plus, three times.
But with one individual.
Doing it in his basement or doing it through some kind of...
Some years ago, there was a young man who said he could make a nuclear weapon in his basement.
I remember that.
Yeah, I debated him a couple of times. Not with great success. Once in front of a girls' school. Here I was in three-piece suit, and he was in a sweater looking. He won the debate. Fact is, he couldn't make it. It's a very complicated, difficult thing to do. But there was a lot of alarm at the time that teenagers were going to be making nuclear weapons and hurtling them around the country. Is this an alarm that may upset us?
Yes.
There are a lot of things to worry about
yes.
in life.
Do we put this on the agenda? The answer to that is also yes. It is not the single thing I wish to worry, I hope we worry about, but it is one of the things on the list. And I don't think it's gotten sufficient attention.
Does it worry you?
Ed?
I suppose it does. I mean, there's more and more advanced ways that people can attack other people. It's quite extraordinary. And if you look in the future, I mean, it's almost mind-blowing. I mean, artificial intelligence, somehow manipulating that, and robotics to try to attack people. Is that something your group looked at?
Yeah, let me talk about both of those.
Could you hold that for a moment? Let me just do a station identification. This is for the benefit of our listeners on Sirius XM Radio and some of the radio stations of the Voice of America. You are listening to White House Chronicle, and you are listening in particular to Ted Gordon, who has put together a very interesting study on lone wolf terrorism. Joined in the questioning, I am joined in the questioning by Linda Gasparello, the co-host of this program, and by Ed Acorn, the editorial page editor of the Providence Journal, also the author of this marvelous book I keep selling, The Summer of Beer and Whiskey. I've had a few summers of beer and whiskey myself. You can see this program on about 200 American television stations and worldwide on the Voice of America television as well as on its radio. Ted, you were saying.
First, let me say I'm looking forward to reading it too.
Thank you.
You will not be disappointed, and for a small fee, I could sell you the same copy that I have right here.
We are baseball fans also, so this will be something to look forward to. But you mentioned robotics.
I'm just a fan of selling books.
Yes, I said, don't forget. Yeah,
and larger than life characters. And this was a larger than life character, which makes it such a compelling read.
You mentioned robotics and artificial intelligence. Let me address both of those. They are potential targets of the terrorists that we're talking about with respect to robotics. This is an amazing new dimension to our lives, coming along very well and very smart. We saw Barbie dolls now being equipped with artificial intelligence on the market probably by Christmas or shortly thereafter, probably by Christmas, where really intelligent conversations with 10-year-old girls can take place. What is your name? And the doll has a memory, and the doll is programmed with 8,000 lines of code. So that no matter how the...
Is the doll lethal as well? Does it pull a gun?
No, but what I'm talking about is a target for terrorists that can interdict new ideas in the stored ideas of this doll. Imagine a terrorist organization now. This probably can't be an individual, but a terrorist organization promulgating its ideas through this kind of program. These ideas come up automatically
rather than having a Manchurian candidate, you have a Manchurian doll.
Yes, sir. Exactly the point.
Manchurian Barbie.
Oh, right. Manchurian Barbie.
Barbie from Manchuria.
Mattel, don't believe this.
Well, I just use that as an example because technology is changing so fast. It's remaking our world faster than we can catch up with it.
I think there is a danger. I think this is all very real, but I also think there's a danger that we can give ourselves a list of hypothetical concerns that will have us in such a nervous state we'll not want to leave the house.
I certainly don't want to do that, Llewellyn. I certainly don't want to do that. So that the intensity of my argument is only goes this far. It says to decision makers, when you think about terrorism, you should go beyond terrorism as you know it. Terrorism as you know it is a beginning of something that can be quite bad. And when you implement policies, when you fund R&D, keep these ideas in mind because they can come as a surprise if we don't think about them.
Yeah. I think we're facing something, don't you, Linda, that's very extraordinary, which is we're facing a resurgence of a kind of religious fervor that we haven't experienced in centuries, coupled with these terrible new technologies. And you don't even have to get a terrible new technology. The simple proliferation of small arms has made things much worse.
Let's talk about small arms. Small arms can now be printed on a 3D printer with materials that are radio transparent, so they can't be detected through normal X-ray machines. Mm-hmm. they can be made, and the and as well as the ammunition can be made on machines that are unique. Nobody else has a pistol like this. Nobody else has a rifle like this. This is mine. I designed it. I built it. And the ammunition it takes is my ammunition. You can't match this against another crime because there isn't. It hasn't been used in another crime. So that the confusion to normal policing methods is really possible. Now, artificial intelligence. Kurzweil talks about a time in the near future when we reach a singularity, and what he means by this.
Tell us who he is, please.
A famous futurist, an inventor, genius.
I'm a futurist. I often say the check is in the mail.
And Kurzweil's singularity is a time when computer intelligence in the aggregate exceeds human intelligence in the aggregate. We have a son who works for IBM, and he took us to see Watson. You know Watson?
Yes.
The computer, and we saw it in operation. Fantastic. And then this morning, I had a problem that I wanted to solve. What was the name of the lady who works at the Yankees radio station, radio program, and broadcast it? I knew her first name, but not her last name. And I took out my cell phone and I said, what's the last name of that lady? And it gave it to me.
It's quite a story that we can do that. It certainly changed our business with research. We don't have to go and get clippings and
it is
check the clippings.
Unbelievable what information resides in this machine.
I want to change the subject, but I want to ask Ted, and maybe you should ask him, about what are the good things ahead in the futurism, in the future, as well as all these things to worry about?
I was thinking about what are the good things after this, but I was also thinking about the fact that we now have two calls, one by the Islamic State and the other by Al-Qaeda, to increase lone wolf terrorism.
I brought that quote.
We also have, with these calls, we are considering right now a substantial influx of immigrants from Syria, whom we're going to have to interview. Lone wolves do not actually reveal themselves right away. They're very good at holding their cards very close to their chest. How are we going to be able to deal with this? Deal with the fact that we need to give the Syrians the humanitarian assistance that the European countries are also going to be giving. And also at the same point, understand that there is this call for more lone wolf terrorists, and that these lone wolf terrorists are going to have substantial training. Some of them will have substantial training in arms, which they will be able to get in the United States quite readily.
That's not one of the good things to put on the list.
That is not one of the good things.
But here's the statement, Linda. I brought this because I thought this might come up. So Zoukhari, earlier this month, in fact last week, said this: I call on all Muslims who can harm the countries of the Crusader Coalition not to hesitate. We must now focus on moving the war to the heart of the homes and cities of the Crusader West, and specifically America. That's blatant. You know, we've heard that they advertise and people come across it and they get persuaded.
And so again, we don't have unlimited manpower to surveil. As a matter of fact, I think we only have about 14,000 agents. I mean, it sounds like
a
lot, but it really isn't.
I think it's totally, it's because there's a law that says you have, as somebody who immigrated a long time ago, went through it, filled in the forms, some of which were quite silly. One was said, are you planning to live in moral turpitude in the United States? Well, one's temptation was to say with a spot of luck, but indeed one didn't say that.
Right, but the surveillance.
I want to talk about the future in some other way. What is your existential, not threat, but your existential happiness you think is out there for mankind?
Well, I mean, it's the same thing as the threat. Our incredible ability to gain knowledge, to understand the world we live in, to understand the past, to understand the human body, to understand how we can take better care of ourselves and live better lives. I mean, it's an extraordinary time. I mean, that we live in the richest, happiest time in history, and people forget that.
More people are living better than have ever lived upon the earth, and for longer. And what is your existential happy prognosis?
My happy place.
Prognosis.
After I brought up ISIS and the call to
Lone Wolf.
I think the same thing. I think maybe man's humanity to man. I think that sometimes does pop up in the most unexpected ways and in the masses. I mean, one person who can do something that will just help so many people. And it's, that instinct seems to come up at the right times. This is something that, we've seen over and over again even in our recent history, that one or two people will make a huge difference for a tremendous number of people. So I like to think that, man's humanity to man is something that
I would just like to throw up the concept that I have in society of placid plateaus, of times when countries are quite happy. This one from the 50s to the 80s, where I grew up in Africa, it was a very benign time. Most of the Western countries, and I include Australia, New Zealand, etc., have been on a long plateau of quiet, of happiness, of relative fulfillment. So there are things that go right as well as wrong. And that, I think, is the end of our show. I didn't mean to have the last word. You want to chip in?
No, I think we'll just leave it on the placid plateau, Llewellyn.
Placid plateau, anything to say? Come on, futurist.
Placid plateau includes our being very welcoming to people who want to escape where they are join us.
Bravo.
And we must show that. We must show that face.
I like that very much. I wish you all great fun on the Placid Plateau. And don't forget to buy my friend's book. I've invested a lot in selling it now.
And
two books.
and this study, yes. If don't get too depressed about the future. Good things as well as bad things happen. Cheers. Mm-hmm.